Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We are your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee.
Hello.
Hello, and good evening. There will unfortunately be background noise because there is a storm going on outside, but there we go. Can't change that. Don't have a storm dragon around.
No.
It is how it is.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about Book 5, Ocean, Chapters 5 and 6. Okay, so we will start off just going back to the last podcast episode. One of the topics we had was what Gandalf says when he gets dragged into the deep by the Balrog. And I corrected it in the last episode already. I mean, you heard the sound clip, so I don't know what you think. But Yana was telling me that there is this thing of people hearing or seeing something, and kind of half the people hear or see something and half the people hear or see something completely different.
Exactly. Yeah.
Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So I heard "fly, you fools," and also I know that there's the stress, and if you look at it, it's either black or golden or something, or blue. I can't remember the color, but it's super interesting. And I can't remember also what I saw, but someone else saw something completely different, and I was like, what the fuck? No, that's not true.
So what's it called? Do you know?
No, but I put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. Yeah. It's called something like black dress, gold dress, or yeah. All right, so yeah, I wanted to go back to that, and I think that was about it from the last episode topics.
Yeah, but what did we find out what Gandalf said?
Well, the internet thinks it's fly, so yeah. You were right, but I still hear run.
Yeah.
I've heard it like 5 times now, and all I hear is run. Yeah. So, but it's not just me, apparently.
Yeah.
Like,
so, yeah,
it's a thing.
If you're committed to hearing, you know, the first time,
yeah,
then I think it's will be stuck.
It's over then. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the thing was, fly does make sense. I mean, it was written in the 1800s by Tolkien, and fly is more like run away quickly, like fleeing. So it does make sense that they use that, actually, in The Lord of the Rings, you know, that they use the words that we used in the book. In the book, I don't think he says anything at that moment, but it seems like something he would say.
But does he say, you shall not pass or something?
Yeah, and he tells them before he falls down, while they're still, like, that they should just run. He probably says fly or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
yeah, and as I said before, we can chat about it in the Telegram chat if anybody's interested.
Oh. Thank you for listening to our Lord of the Rings podcast.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the Dragon Prince. So, as usual, I will read the synopses and then we'll get on to the details after. Chapter 5, Archmage Akiyu. Our heroes encounter a quirky archmage and get the map they need. The anti-heroes are still floating downstream. Viren is awake but unresponsive, and Claudia is getting more anxious by the minute. Zubeya doesn't show up to pick up our heroes and seems to be getting sick. ... And chapter 6, Bait and Switch. Our heroes have to make their way through a shady town to find a boat and a captain to take them to the Sea of the Castout. Zubeya is looking sicker and sicker, and Claudia has a showdown with a dragon.
Nice. I would suggest to start with Karim and Pharos. So the interesting thing for me was here that Pharos is hiding his infection still. And also when they enter the forest, so he's looking afraid and anxious, although he is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? You know, why has he feelings at all? Like, I didn't understand it. And it was also interesting that the Blood Moon Huntress,
mm-hmm.
so Karim told him on the way, but they didn't even see her, or, you know, it was just a story.
Mm-hmm.
And when they entered the forest, he was like, I'm a little bit afraid and scared.
Yeah.
So that was super strange for me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was very scared and stuff, and it seems odd.
Yeah,
totally. Maybe he's afraid of being found out. If they're adding another kind of magical person into the mix, a magical elf. I'm not sure. I also had question marks about it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Super nervous.
Yeah.
And exactly. And also saying, like, he was saying that basically he didn't want to have this evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, Karim's light is pure and all of this stuff. But yeah, he himself is like corrupted or evil or something. So it all doesn't match up, right?
Yeah. Maybe that's why he is like this.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to be infected.
Mm.
And he's maybe a little bit like Subeya and wants to hide it. Although he was sick for a long time, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Luxuria infection was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he not pure evil? And yeah, it's strange. It doesn't make sense for me yet.
Yeah, no, it's also totally weird because we know he died before. So it's all weird anyway.
Yeah.
And it adds a whole other layer of weird then. Yeah. Why is he so nervous if he's full of dark magic and has evil intent?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is there some elfishness left or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very strange stuff. Yeah. And I don't have any answers.
Yeah. Karim tells him that there is no ordinary spell necessary or required to restore the sight of Sol Regum, but a sun seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they can capture the sun seed or get the sun seed out of the protected sun Luxuria thing where Janai hide it, has hidden it.
Mm-hmm.
Via this Kim Dale?
Mm-hmm. Kim Dale, I think.
The Blood Moon Huntress, yeah. And then, yeah, in the next scene, he tells him the story of the Blood Moon Huntress. There was a... during the reign of the Archdragon of Moon, Luna Tenebris, there was the Order of the Blood Moon, and they did some horrible stuff to prolong their lives. And then when Avisandam gained more power, or was taking over everything, Avisandam wiped out the Blood Moon Order, and only the leader survived, and the leader was Kim Dale. And she went to Karim's grandmother, or grandmother, Aditi, to beg for protection. And in exchange for this protection, she did a magical binding, a mercy debt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a story about it on the website.
Ah, interesting.
Short story. It's called The Queen's Mercy. And guess who wrote it?
Devin?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Devin Gill. There we go again. I think she wrote a lot of short stories.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Okay, and the short story is about that order? Or like it's an old...
It's about the magical binding.
Okay, the mercy debt. Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. And what's it called?
The Queen's Mercy.
The Queen's Mercy. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Nice. Okay. It was interesting and to notice that Kim Dale had a British accent. Like English accent.
Okay.
So it kind of fits with the evil. I mean, there's a lot of like British kind of evil characters. And I was thinking about it because the Order of the Blood Moon is moon shadow elves.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon shadow elves from the Silver Grove all have Scottish accents.
Mm.
So she must be a moon shadow elf from another bit of the forest that has English accent or something. I don't know. I found it interesting because they do a lot with the accents, don't they?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Nice. And I just wanted to, ask as well, like when she, or I had a question mark, when she goes to attack Pharos, she has this like long nail that grows and like almost spikes Pharos in the eye. And then Karim says something about, okay, you can take my servant's blood if you want, or you can listen to me, you know? And I was like, okay, is that like some sort of straw that kind of sucks out their blood, or what? Or what is it?
I think this is also in the short story. I didn't read it fully.
Okay.
But I think there's a mentioning there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was also confused about saying my servant already.
Yeah.
So is this relationship already cleared, you know? Like,
Karen's just really arrogant, huh?
Yeah,
it's like, okay, yeah. I have a follower. Okay, now they're my servant.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was like, I'm a what? Prince.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing it again, that Pharos is really afraid and unsure about searching this assistance of someone of this ilk.
Yeah.
You know, that was also strange.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, she's also evil.
Yeah.
So is she even more evilish than you?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A different kind of evil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she's lived for apparently a very, very long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like hundreds of years. Yeah. Or at least 150 years or something.
In the lantern.
In the lantern. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, did she come out of the lantern then? It was also confusing. She just now, kind of appeared in the dark.
So the lantern turned the monitor red.
Yeah.
And then she was there.
Yeah. And she was kind of semi-transparent in that moonshadowy way. Like true. Rayla and
true.
The others.
So. But then she appeared fully, right? Didn't she?
I'm not sure if she became fully opaque or if she was always kind of transparent. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah. But she was at least transparent for most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or semi-transparent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting thing going on there.
Yeah. And she's really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the long fingernail thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when Karim said, hey, do you want to do the mercy dead and stuff? She was like, yes, please.
Yes, please.
Oh my god, yes.
She finally wants to be free of that, I guess, yeah. Yeah, other thing, Blood Moon and stuff we have from the Avatar universe. So it's interesting that they've kind of brought it back.
Blood Moon?
This, like, blood bending and stuff is all to do with Full Moon, and then every now and again there's a Blood Moon, and it's especially... Bloodbending is especially powerful, I think. But we can look it up. And the only other thing I thought of was The Legend of Zelda. There's always a blood moon and then all the monsters kind of get resurrected. So, let's move on to Clarion Viren.
To the evil group.
The evil crew.
With some
the evil crew.
With Zombie Viren.
Zombie Viren, yeah. Claudia's worrying about Viren. He's not responding. Is he in there? Is he, like, taking anything in? And then they do this bee dance. Bees don't need words, so maybe Viren doesn't need words, and that's all quite funny. And then Terry thinks that he saw Viren's bum shimmy a little bit. So that's all very nice, kind of comedy relief there. And then the dragon comes back and they hide, but Sparklepuff starts saying blood of child, which the dragon definitely hears. And apparently Viren is taking something in, because Viren gags Sparklepuff and stops Sparklepuff shouting blood of child, blood of child.
For me, it was more like a sneeze. So Sparklepuff, it's like sneezing and then saying or shouting blood of child, but...
Because he can't keep it in when it happens, exactly. It just...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also interesting for me was some stuff Terry said, apart from the jelly beans later. Jelly tarts. he's not responding, eating, blah, blah, blah. But aside from that, reminded me of Monty Python.
Okay.
You know, Life of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
When they were, what did the Romans do for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did this. Yeah, apart from that.
True. I forgot about that. Yeah. But aside from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And I was also interested about how many days are left for Viren, because mm-hmm. Claudia is worried about the spell fading away.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we know the days?
We don't know the days, like, we don't have a day count, but I would say not long left.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And that Terum is very romantic again. and we don't know the name of the dragon either, right?
No.
Yeah.
The bluish one.
Yeah. Water dragon, maybe.
I don't know.
And one other interesting bit was for me, when the dragon was flying away, or before, it smelled its armpit.
Yeah.
You know, like,
fly away. Yeah, I also wondered about that. Interesting move. That's kind of move of like, okay, the dragon doesn't think that anybody's there. Like, would anyone's looking at them? Because that's the kind of thing that you do when you don't think anyone's looking.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So maybe it was on purpose.
Yeah.
So that they thought that the dragon hadn't seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I thought about it, this part, I didn't like the animation so much. Like, the trees seem really two-dimensional, and when they hide themselves and Terry, the animation of Terry is really cool, but then when Terry pulls it down, it really kind of looks like a Photoshop stretch of something two-dimensional. That's my only kind of criticism, I guess.
I had this more in the second chapter.
Mm.
And I also wrote it down that the 1-3 was 2D and it looked like a matte painting.
Yeah.
I will put this in show notes. It's something you do for ages in camera things.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Really interesting.
So I don't know what that was about, but it's not the end of the world.
No. But I also read about that, the cost was too high to animate everything correctly and fully and, do everything new. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and if there's, like, some things that aren't greatly animated, then you hope that the other scenes that got really a lot of money put into them. Yeah.
I think the two episodes were otherwise great with acting and voice acting and what was in there, the jokes and everything.
Yeah, I agree. And in this particular chapter, there was a lot more energy put into what was going on with the heroes than what was going on with Claudia and Viren.
I have so many notes for the heroes.
I purposefully reduced my notes this time.
Okay.
Because I was like, no, it's too much. It's too much.
Okay, right. Then let's move on to the dragon.
The dragon. Okay.
So, first scene was Ezrin is summarizing everything what happened for them. telling about the Archmage Akio, which was also introduced now, not before. And we learned that she's a tightbound elf. She built a magical prison, lives beyond the tide pools. And later we learned that folks or close friends call her Tidebound Tina. And she reminded me of Torf Bilfang in the Foggy Swamp.
Yes. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also when she was speaking a lot, also like Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She reminded me of the... I think she's called Ogra from The Dark Crystal. But I have to look it up. Have you seen The Dark Crystal? It's
no.
Like this... The Dark Crystal is really good, and I watched it a lot in my childhood. And there has been since a Netflix series of it as well. Anyway, there's this old kind of witchy type character who's like, yeah, also like got, I think, only one eye that keeps falling out and stuff. And just like this kind of a character that has a lot of power and stuff, but like just looking at them, they don't, you wouldn't automatically assume that they were like some sort of great mage or something. Yeah. Nice quote from Ezrin as well. Like, I try not to judge, but no, you don't look like...
But for me, it was the other way around. She definitely or totally looked like an archmage.
You think so? Yeah. Because of...
the eccentric way and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, Callum's very eccentric.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, going back to the first scene, because Callum had another idea to steal or borrow the Nova Plate, protected by an ancient sect of Skywing Elves called the Celestial Elves, at the Starscraper, a very high tower far, far north beneath the frozen, beyond the frozen sea. And but shouldn't it be the last resort to get the blade? And Rayla has the deciding vote. Or
poor Rayla.
Yeah. Is the deciding vote. And she decided to meet the Archmage instead of going to the Nova Blade.
Yep.
That's the first scene. In the second one, yeah, Zubeya with the zombie vampire bite wound.
Oh yeah.
Horrible, infected.
And Sorin's very concerned.
Yeah, totally. Bait also, because when Sorin was saying that she should rest, Bait was nodding in the background. But yeah, Sorin is also a dragon doctor now and says to Zubeya that she should drink plenty of fluids. And she is also like Pharos and hiding the wound from Ezran and Sim.
Ah, interesting. Interesting comparison. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you say it. I mean, he did die and then he was in that city. I guess his body was just left there. So then if he got corrupted then by the magic there and kind of brought back to life in this zombie way.
No.
Yeah, you might be right. That would make sense.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good comparison.
But although she is wounded, she helps him to get to the Archmage, or at least to the tide pool thing. Although she should rest, according to her doctor.
And, Dr. Sorin.
Yeah, Dr. Sorin. And wants to meet him there at sundown. The scene looks very unvegan, because there's lots of meat piles for me.
Meat piles?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it looked like a lot of meat pies.
Okay.
You know, like the...
In the cave?
No, not in the cave. In the open area with the birds and
stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looked really horrible for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's lots of carrion birds, you know? They need to eat.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Also, Stella is stealing some shells or storing it away.
Stella?
Yeah.
You said Stella.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But Stella is storing some shells.
That's right. Down, yeah.
And there are some big gulls. And the dragon are bite-sized. Also, we have a lot of giant hermit crabs and giant sea slugs. And also the carrion gulls. And a sea slug totally looked like an Exototal. Do you know this name?
No, but I think I know what you mean. I think I've seen pictures.
The smiling creature with a
kind of funny antlers.
Arm or some wings or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or antlers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, post it in the show notes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Looked really awesome. And I like this animal.
Yeah. And we have it again in the show notes, so we can talk about it then.
Outro.
We have it in the outros.
Yeah. I also love the hermit crabs.
Yeah.
Especially the tiny ones.
Yeah.
Love them to have on my hand. Yeah. And, you know.
Oh, they're very cool. Yeah, and I really like this changing the dimensions of creatures and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. And that they could then hide in the shells and stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, really interesting. Oh. Well done.
And Bait turns green instantly because he's so afraid of the big birds when they were knocking at the shell.
Yeah. And it seems like Ezrin can't talk to them.
True. That's also interesting.
Mm.
Do we know why?
No, don't think so. But I mean, maybe Ezrin also has to learn how to communicate with animals, and it's not just an instant, like, that he hears their thoughts or something. But yeah, Tidebound Tina knew what to do.
Yeah. Scream!
Yeah. So, they're hiding, and then Tidebound Tina... I prefer the name to Archmage Akiyu, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tina comes running in, waving her stick around and screaming at the carrion gulls to get them to go away.
And, they are, but they are in search of this Archmage Akiyu. And, she wants to phone with her, with a conch. Oh, wise and very dangerous Archmage, master of the briny deep. And it totally reminded me of the SpongeBob magic conch.
Okay.
Do you know this scene?
No.
Yeah, it's hilarious. They have a magic conch and she's just saying random stuff like, yes, no.
Try again. I've seen that episode. It's
hilarious.
Okay.
And they totally trust
it's like
her.
A magic eight ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for me, it was also interesting that they completely accept that the conch is a communication device.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, sure, it's a telephone.
Yeah.
And who is on the other end?
And Callum's like, oh, let me talk to her. Yeah.
No, it's my conch.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, funny.
Who are you? A ragtag of squad of bold adventurers. Some ragtag weirdos.
Yeah. That was very well done. Very funny. But then Tina ends up taking them with her anyway.
Yeah.
To the pool that they have to dive in to get to the Archmage. And they all dive in, and then Callum and Rayla go together because we've been reminded again that Rayla is scared of water.
Yeah.
But it's a nice moment for them.
Sharing the burden again.
Yeah. And holding hands nicely, and just like, Callum's like, yeah, I've got you, don't worry.
Yeah.
It's nice.
For me, funny was also Stella using Bait as a plank to jump in. And Soren and Bait, who's not impressed at all, Soren just walks in straight away.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah. Walks in, takes a breath, holds bait in the air, takes a breath. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's nice.
Pretty cool.
And then they come out the other end and completely trust Tina that going into this corridor is a good idea. Apart from Soren, who recognizes the drool on the teeth of the anemone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thanks to Zim, Zappy Zappy Zim, they zap their way out of that situation quite quickly. I don't know, it's a weird thing with Archmage Akiyu and this pact and stuff. And yeah, so Archmage Akiyu's already fakes her own death. Because she's like, okay, that's it for me. Bye.
Fakes.
And then as soon as she finds out that someone else knows, she just gives in completely and is like, oh, here's a map.
Like, yeah.
What is that about? Yeah,
that was also super strange for me. Yeah.
It was a bit too easy, Tina. Like, you made an oath that you would die before telling people, and yeah, I'm not sure how serious you were about that.
No, she made a pact, you know.
A pact. It's
even more meaningful, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. The jailer was a little bit lax there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But good for our heroes
that
Tina is alive. Akiyu.
Some things first. This corridor, this mysterious corridor, reminded me of the Kraken from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And we get introduced to the jailer, didn't we?
Yeah, properly, for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We've seen the jailer in a previous credits.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
But we didn't know who it was.
Oh, okay.
And we saw them briefly when we had this exposition about the different archmages and the prison. When they got told that in the first place, there wasn't a shot. You saw the jailer for a second.
Okay.
But we didn't know anything about them, and so now we found out more about the jailer and their role in the whole making of Erebos's prison.
We learn that the puzzle is the real prison, and the jailer is actually human mage.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina the jailer got the task to build a prison with unknown location, material, and its very nature. And Tina knows two things, but I was wondering, what about the material? What is the material of the prison?
Mm-hmm.
Do we learn this? No.
We don't know that yet.
Yeah, why not? Because Tina knows it.
Ah, okay.
Because she built it, you know?
Yeah.
Why didn't they ask her?
Yeah, at least Tina only told them
the map.
Where it is.
Yeah, the one thing.
But I thought that Ezrin already knew what it is from Domina Profundis. But hasn't told them. But I'm not sure about that, actually.
Oh.
But I thought Ez said, like, Domina Profundis knows about the nature of it, like what it is, but not where it is. So I'm assuming Domina Profundis told Ezrin that fact.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So Ezrin knows. So they're still kind of not sharing all the information, because Ezrin knows the nature, but the others don't. And the others just know where it is. But
also no one asked.
Yeah.
Tina, you know?
Yeah. But maybe they don't need to, because they know Ezrin knows already.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, Tina is very dramatic with the magic cape clotrus shot. With lots of vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew before that the prison is in the middle of the Sea of the Cast Out.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives Callum an enchanted amulet, and this is foreshadowed by Alice in Cursed Caldera, book 2, chapter 8.
Oh,
there was an outro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was the amulet, and Alice was admiring it.
Yeah.
And then I rewatched it, and it looks completely different to the one we now have.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So
like now it's just a round stone on a string.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was a huge chain with lots of metal and stuff. And the amulet itself was like a star shape.
Yeah.
With a round thing on top.
Mm-hmm.
Closed or something. So completely overkill.
Like impractical.
Yeah. To the one we have now.
Okay. Yeah, that was like a big in joke for that episode. Yeah. That chapter back then as well.
Yeah.
Because she'd said something to Callum about, like, yeah, all mages, like, need a big fancy amulet.
Maybe, yeah. That was it. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and really weird that Tina wouldn't even say what it's for. Oh, here, you have this. Yeah, what's it for? And acts like Callum's stupid for asking, you know?
But, like... yeah, he was, because also he wasn't shutting up,
yeah.
And he's awkward.
Yeah.
Wizard of awkward. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
And it keeps us in suspense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, yeah, because of this, she reminded me of Mrs. Cohen from Life of Brian again, mm-hmm. Monty Python, the mother of Brian. Because also in one of the scenes, she is like, hey, get out, Scram.
Yeah.
Totally like this.
Okay.
So funny. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I think that's it. Apart from the jelly bonbons, mm-hmm. and stuff.
Then we can rename Callum Brian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sundown is already over.
Mm-hmm.
And we only hear, see Zubeya being infected.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, so for overarching themes, I have the prison is not what it seems and neither is Akiyu. Or the carry-on goals, and that we'll maybe see when we talk about the credits. Because, yeah, the slug is alive.
The slug?
The slug, the sea slug, the giant sea
slug. Ah, so, okay. Yeah, true, yeah. Now I know what you mean.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, the things aren't quite as they seem. But yeah, that's all I have.
Yeah, I just have, hey, it's Archmage Akio.
Yeah.
Tina. Tad about Tina.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And for spells, I have this Akiyu's image thing in the pool, like showing us the dragons and the jailer and stuff. Found that a really cool spell. And I wondered if the tide-bound elf magic is a bit like moon magic, in that it's kind of with illusion.
Hmm, yeah.
Also because Archmage Akiyu has this stick.
Yeah.
And then when they figure out that she's the Archmage and she's just like, yeah, fine, she turns the stick back into a staff. And yeah. I assumed that was just an illusion and it was her staff all along. But yeah, I was wondering then if they have kind of similarities. Like,
that's in interesting. Magic. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we have the credits.
Yeah. So first I have this enchanted amulet, the ocean magic. And as I said, it was foreshadowed and looked a lot of, completely different.
Yeah. It has three runes on it as well. Yeah. But I didn't recognize the runes on it.
The one was, I think, fire.
Okay.
But the other ones, I was too lazy to look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, also limited on time today.
Mm.
Okay, then we have Clary in bee costumes and Claudia's wiggling her tushy.
Yeah, doing the wiggle dance. Tidebound Tina is brushing the teeth of the Kraken with a giant toothbrush.
The weird blood moon candle attracting five, I'm going to say glow toads. I had a look, they look like glow toads, but their faces looked a bit weird. But maybe because they were so, like, hypnotized by the light or something.
I was writing down awe eyes, like,
yeah,
in,
like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like this,
mm-hmm.
But also small baits.
Yeah, like glow-toads. Fascinated, yeah.
But I don't know why.
No, don't know.
And first I was like, what is this thing? And then I found out it's this enchanted lantern to summon Kim Dale.
Mm-hmm.
The giant sea slug or Exototl in a nest of a carrion gull, smiling, of course, and alive.
And the carrion gull has a sneaky smile as well and has its wing kind of a bit wrapped around it.
True.
Like, maybe it was protecting it from the people and not...
True.
Taking it off to eat it, true. Like we thought.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They're friends.
Yeah.
The slug has a rich inner life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I meant by the carrion gulls maybe seeming not being like they seem.
Yeah.
Also, sorry, because in that scene where the carrion gulls are attacking them, Callum's staff is glinting in the sun. And maybe they just were, like, shiny, shiny and not actually trying to kill them at all.
Yeah, yeah, I was also wondering about this. Like, these birds who wants to have shiny things.
Magpies.
Yeah.
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 Elster.
Elster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last image is the jailer weaving the jail spell. It's a really nice image as well. Lots of kind of magical chains flying through the air and stuff. And yeah, turning the chains into keys, I wasn't sure.
Interesting, because I wrote down some keys which she swings around in the shape of an infinity symbol.
Oh.
Because it's like a 8 mm-hmm. lying down, you know, and this is the infinity symbol means the infinite prison sentence, something.
Interesting. Yeah, a prison forever. Yeah, that makes more sense. I didn't really make sense of it.
But chains, it could be both.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to chapter 6, Bait and Switch.
Yeah, the first three scenes is 2D. Looks like matte painting.
Mm-hmm.
The butterfly on Rurin gets eaten by Sir Sparklepuff.
Because I didn't notice that.
Sir Sparklepuff also is hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the same dragon is stalking them for the third time. And Claudia attacks it personally. But yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Because the dragon is stalking them.
Yeah.
So
it is personal.
It is personal. Yeah. Then the dragon sneaks up to them and maybe destroys the boat, or
knocks it over.
And knocks it over. And then Claudia has enough and is tired of running and walks towards the dragon. And Terry tries to keep her away.
Yeah, and then they roar at each other.
That's, screaming. who has the better scream?
Mm-hmm.
But, the dragon attacks with water, and Claudia or Katara uses dark magic water bending. Glodna Erans Eki Fo Valk, Claw of Ice, Snare and Hold.
Mm-hmm.
So she captures the dragon, intimidates, and says something about dragon should fear humans now, times are changing, blah blah blah. Terry tries to step in and tries to reason with Claudia not to kill it. Claudia returns to human and says, you're right, but it won't follow us anyway because it's afraid of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, Dad, follow us. And Rune is like, yes, Claudia, sir, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, what? What's going on with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, really it was hard. Yeah, Claudia, yeah, with her black eyes and everything, and like, then her eyes turn back to human, but then she's just cruel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then releases the dragon. She crumbles the ice so that the dragon can fly away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just because it's terrified of her now.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, Terry's seeing more and more of her cruel side.
Yeah.
And Viren is still, yeah, being a puppet.
But yeah, at least following, you know, like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was really out of breath when they ran away from the dragon as well. And Terry was, like, trying to calm him down and stuff. It was cute.
True, yeah.
Yeah. And I just had kind of Pokemon feelings with the dragon a little bit.
Totally.
And, like, the water spout attack. I think I called, like, Water Pulse. I think it's one of the Pokemon attacks. Yeah.
Claudia uses Intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
It was successful.
It was successful. Defense stats fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Have the Pokemon music in the background. Nice. All right, let's move on to the heroes. That's it for this episode, huh?
Mm-hmm. Only these two parties.
So the heroes, they're on a dark, foggy beach, and they go out onto a pier. And Rayla does a creepy whistle and gets a really creepy, whistly response. And then this boat comes over and they get in. And Rayla pays a coin, which also comes up in the credits.
Yeah.
But immediately when I saw it, it reminded me of the person we're about to meet, like the boss. The face on the coin reminded me of the boss.
I didn't remember his face, and I wrote down, so first, do they know already of the wound of Zubea?
Mm.
Because they were now at some other route?
Yeah, they don't know about it, yeah.
Not yet?
Mm-mm.
So, okay, they just went away.
Yeah, they waited so long, I guess, and decided to go.
Okay. Then the boat thing, it reminded me of the Lord of the Rings Nazgul boat scene. And also the boat to the dead land in his Dark Materials.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me emotional. Yeah.
And then, yeah, coming back to the coin. Because I was wondering what coin it is. It's not from... it's from Stella's portal. Looks like an elf, but it's not one of the coins we know so far. Because I looked it up. So I was wondering, maybe it's a normal payment coin. And then I was wondering about, it looks like an elf version of Danny Trejo. You know this actor?
Who's that?
This American-Mexican actor.
Okay.
Machete. Yeah, I put it in the show notes, but it completely...
Ah, I think I know who you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a coin from this place that they're going to.
Yeah, because we also see it in the outros, in the credits. And it's apparently there are two coins. Let's talk about it later.
I think it's the front and the back.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
That could be also true.
Heads and tails.
Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But we only get these just pictures, you know? You can't turn the coin around in your hands. Yeah. All right, so back to the crew. So they're on their way to Scumpot, and then they start thinking about their ulterior personalities? No, what would you say?
Alter egos?
Alter egos. So we've got Smart Long Pocket,
mm-hmm.
and Glint zap hand.
Nice.
But Rayla is annoyed and just wants them to try to be inconspicuous.
Oh.
Better to not be noticed. And they're walking along and it's busy, busy. And there's people selling stuff and going from place to place. And someone's selling Leviathan meat. So that's, I think, the first we hear of Leviathans.
Mm-hmm.
And you see in the background, like, a massive tail of a huge creature, like, hanging there. And the person who's trying to sell the meat talks about it being, like, for thousands of, like, sandwiches or I don't know what. And then at some point in the background, there's also a drake rider riding a drake along, like, to somewhere. And
Didn't notice.
There's kind of lots of things going on. If I'd have had more time, I would have spent more time picking that apart.
Yeah.
But one Easter egg that I wanted to share was somebody in the background is selling stem bolts. Stem bolts! Get your stem bolts here! All self-sealing! And that's a direct reference to Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Nice.
There's a very specific episode of that where Jake, Sisko, and Nog, Ferengi, are trying to sell all these stem bolts that they got that they didn't need. And yeah, it's a very good episode. It's a funny episode. So it stuck in my memory as well. And I was like, stem bolts? Self-sealing stem bolts? And totally had Ferengis in my head, and I looked it up, and it totally is.
Okay.
And it's not on the Dragon Prince wiki. Nice. So
nice.
Fresh off the press, news from the breach, Easter egg.
Nice. Yeah, I have more information about the stuff going on there, because interesting for me was the boat is pulled by a giant octopus.
True. Yes. Yeah.
And then completely vanishes when they were arriving at the scum port.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone, you know? Mm-hmm. The boat is just flying in or something, and the octopus is gone.
And we only see the tentacle of the octopus, yeah, exactly. Don't we?
So yeah. it's huge, but then gone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And scum port is inspired by Tortuga, the port in Pirates of the Caribbean
again. Yeah.
And
kind of this no man's land, no laws thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was used before in Voyage of the Ruthless. And yeah, they did use the scene or the animation again because of cost reasons.
Yeah.
And only added the tower, Finnegan's Tower.
Yeah, because that was very memorable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a little bit like Mission Impossible style. And it reminded me of Thief, this game. There's also a big tower in the fourth game.
Okay.
Looks like this. Or Disenchantment in one of the, I think the, what's it called? Technical thing land. Also, this tower looks like it.
Okay.
Yeah, really interesting. Yeah, that's it. To Scumport.
All right. Yeah. So we're in Scumport, and Callum and Ez go up the tower to talk to the boss, Finnegrin. And Sorin and Rayla go to try and find a boat and a captain, and Zim also joins them.
No.
So first with Callum and Ez, they go up and the bodyguard lets Ez go in with bait, because Deadwood, the bodyguard, realizes that bait is something that Finnegan probably wants, and it's a really cute interaction with them, and Deadwood looking at bait and laughing at bait's name. Good name, very funny. And then when he unlocks the door, he says this thing of squids, sails, and hammerheads, tails, which is relevant for later.
The order of the keys.
Yeah. And yeah, I like this Deadwood character. Definitely reminds me of Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. It's kind of a similar, like, really big character who kind of takes things very literally. Like, when Callum is like, I'm just going to stay here and get to know my friend here. I'm not your friend. It's like flexing his woody muscles. Yeah.
Isn't it Groot in...
Yeah, like, that's a different character.
Ah, okay.
But from the woodiness, of course, it also is definitely similar to Groot. But Groot only says one word.
Okay, okay, I see.
Or, like, one sentence. Oh. I am Groot. Oh. And, yeah, this guy has more vocabulary. Yeah, but I immediately like Deadwood.
Interesting, because this creature is actually called Elmer.
Ah.
And it reminded me of a creature in Pirates of the Caribbean again, or One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually inspired after El Swearegen, portrayed by Ian McShane from the television series Deadwood.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Interesting reference.
Really good.
It's called... Deadwood. Why he's called Deadwood.
Yeah, I guess it's just Finnegan that calls him Deadwood, isn't it? Yeah. So we don't actually get introduced to him properly.
No.
Yeah.
And Finnegan, which we learn now, is a Tidebound elf also. Is inspired by Han Solo from Star Wars.
Ah, okay.
Reminded me also of a character in One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the first episodes. And... unfortunately, I spoiled myself in the wiki.
Oh, no!
Yeah, but it was also a nice character because he petted a hermit crab, so he definitely likes hermit crabs.
Yeah. And that's like a really good baddie trope, isn't it? Like of the bad guy having a cat or something. Yeah.
But here it's not a cat, it's a hermit crab.
Yeah. And the hermit crab is quite important to him, you know? Like, the hermit crab's all squeezed in and needs a new shell. And it has to be a shell with style as well.
Exactly, yeah. Also, the searching for a boat is like in One Piece. So, you can... So, totally... It's completely influenced by Pirates of the Caribbean and One Piece.
Of course. Yeah, like, it's piratey, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And the door, the unlocking reminded me of the Chamber of Secrets in Harry Potter.
Mm.
This Parseltongue door.
Yeah, with the... Yeah.
With the snakes.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we go back to Ezrin and Finnegan, and they're talking, and Finnegan's trying to get bait off Ezrin, and Ezrin's like, no, he's my friend, and then like, oh, well, I'll just take half, but I get to choose the half, like, no, and bait is also like, how dare you?
There's also this amazing camera zoom out effect. Where they are completely speechless.
Yeah, just
like, what?
Jaw dropping. What? No.
Yeah.
And then Finnegan tells them he has something that's worth 3 times as much as bait. Or will be worth 3 times as much as bait. And opens the chest to show them. And you just see this glow.
Yeah.
And them looking in like, like, and... interesting expression on Bait's face as well, and just this opening a thing with the glow was definitely like the suitcase in Pulp Fiction. It's also like a thing of opening something, and you just get this like this light shining out of it, and people being like, oh. Yep, that's that was it basically.
I have another one. Yeah, the crown is not worth of anything, not even sentimental value.
Mm-hmm.
Also interesting. And they will or would get the second fastest ship for Bait.
For Bait, yeah. Bait is very, very important if you're open, for catching a leviathan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because of gold.
Because of gold.
I like money. Mrs. Krabs. Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the crown is worth a lot to Ezrin. It's very symbolic, isn't it? But but not to, like, he doesn't care about kings and whatever, like he said. Yeah, so then back downstairs, looking for a ship and doing kind of funny little scenes, like he said, to find a ship and a captain. And someone's confused because they think that they're going to give them the baby dragon, like, do it for him. But actually they mean just because he's cute and needs rescuing. But Sorin has found a captain and a boat, and Rayla quickly realizes who it is, and Villis is back. Yes.
Berto.
Berto. Yeah. I was wondering what the bird was called. Yeah. Berto. Ez wants to steal the chest before they leave.
That's also an interesting move, because Ezrin, for me, wasn't going to steal anything at all, ever. And now he's like, group, we have to steal it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, it's similar to Katara.
Yeah.
In Avatar, The Last Airbender. Because Katara's always also like the goody-goody.
Yeah.
And then in the pirate episode, she's the one that steals.
Yeah.
The waterbending scroll.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting parallel. Yeah, you wouldn't expect it from Ezrin.
No.
Except when we learn what is in the chest, it makes more sense.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so they come up with a cool plan involving Smart's long pocket.
Best name.
To get Finnegan out of his office. And we see more of Finnegan being kind of being cruel to his bodyguard.
Yeah.
Calling him a useless hunk of flotsam.
Yeah.
And then we have the ruse downstairs with Villas and Callum and the smoke bees. And when the bees are released, then Rayla bumps Finnegan and seems like Stella steals the keys, but we don't actually see the moment of the stealing, right? Like, then Stella just gives the keys to Rayla.
Ever done, Rayla and Stella steal a key.
Yeah. Zim flies up, brings Ezrin the keys. Yeah, and then they have the chest, but they can't escape. But then they manage to escape out of a window. We find out when the bodyguard knocks down the door and lets them for Finnegan to get back inside. Yeah, and then we get the nice scene of revealing what was in the chest after all. Prepared to be filled with a sense of awe. And they see the three little glow toads.
Baby glow toads.
Yeah.
Super cute.
Mm-hmm.
And we also learn that the first mate is catching up. And it's Nyx. We know her from before. And actually, she's a member of Finnegan's crew. Gotcha.
Ah.
Yeah. Because he is saying he is visiting them. Looking through his telescope.
Okay.
And then he says gotcha when she arrived at the boat.
Okay. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
I think he's just more like he just finally saw them on the horizon. It didn't connect.
No sense, you know, to let them go and then saying gotcha.
Mm.
Yeah, Nyx is in.
You sure?
Yeah, totally.
Mm. I'm not sure. I mean, she is a shady character. Yeah. We know from before.
No, she is in his crew.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know because you spoiled yourself or because...
This, and I imagined it when he was saying gotcha and she just arrived.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, 100% they are together.
Well, now we've spoiled the listeners as well.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we attempt to be spoiler-free, but sometimes it just happens.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I hadn't made that connection at all. No. I just more thought, like, because he'd finally got to a good-looking spot. That he was then like, there they are. Okay.
Yeah, but no. Mm. Because when they were floating away, it was already visible, the boat.
Mm.
And then Nyx was following them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying, gotcha.
Yeah.
So.
No, I get it, but it took him a while to get to the,
yeah, exactly,
the dock, right?
Yeah.
That was my, like, in my head. Yeah.
But he was not on his dock.
No?
No, was he was in his office.
Ah, okay.
Still. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. I have something else. Bait turns purple, which is nervous or stressed.
Yeah.
Also interesting for a short moment, mm-hmm, when he about this not for sale thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I learned so many new words in this two chapters. Ick. Flotsam, hunk, ragtag, some of them.
Okay.
You know? Like, what's... I had to Google almost everything.
Lots of words that you don't use very often.
Not at all. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
And also heavy insults. The Flopsy anchovy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little too far. Yeah. That's it.
Right.
And the boat is called the Roofless.
Which we know from before.
No.
Because Villas's wife doesn't like sailing.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Ruthless. Yeah. She's called Ruth.
Ah. True. I remember. Yeah.
All right, what do you have for, like, overarching themes and stuff? I don't have anything.
Yeah, it's called bait and switch, and I was wondering what it means. I was like, okay, bait is clear because there are new baits, and switch could maybe mean something to switch for.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just Googled it, and according to Wikipedia, it's bait and switch is a form of fraud used in retail sales, but also employed in other contexts. First, customers are baited by merchants advertising products or services at a low price, but when customers visit the store, they discover that the advertised goods are not available, or the customers are pressured by salespeople to consider similar but higher price items, switching. So, Smorin Longpocket did exactly this.
Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Okay, then now we know.
Yeah. Interesting title. Yeah.
All right. For spells, I have the Icy Hand,
mm-hmm,
which you...
The magic
spell,
exactly. Dark magic.
From Claudia.
No.
Did she actually say the words, or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah, and extras, things that I noticed, I watched the recap, and Bait introduces the recap. Usually, like, one of the actors says... previously on The Dragon Prince, and it's Bait going...
Really? Oh, great. That's interesting.
Really nice. Really nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Then let's do the credits.
I have a pile of baitlings.
Baitlings. Oh, that's a nice word. Then we have the coin with both sides.
Yeah.
That's how I took it. And I really think it's supposed to be Finnegan's face.
Yeah, it is.
And the back is an elf skull with hermit crab legs coming out of it, which is a really nice touch because he's all into hermit crabs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought this is like heads and tails. And the interesting thing for me is also because in the beginning, Rayla said that Finnegan is like the unofficial boss,
mm-hmm,
of the place. But if he's like the unofficial boss, how is his face on all the coins, you know? It's like, yeah, that it just I found it a little bit confusing.
No.
Because he must be official in some sense, otherwise his face wouldn't be on these coins.
Well, who is official, you know?
Yeah, who's the... Yeah, exactly. Questions.
But maybe we found out if we read the side stories, Chasing Shadows, part 1, 2, and 3.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The story of how Rayla and Stella visited Scumport.
Okay, I'll try and read those before the next...
Yeah.
Before we record our next episode.
Yeah, yeah. Is Mort Longpacket twirling his mustache?
Then we have the keys. Mm-hmm. Finnegan's keys.
Mm-hmm. Finnegan and Emma in fancy mafia clothings.
And then we have Nick sitting on a treasure chest in a pirate costume.
Yeah. Really cool.
That's a bit of a spoiler with Elma's name. That's really something that comes up later.
Oh, okay. Okay. I did look it
but
up.
But it's just a name. Yeah. It's okay.
We could also call him Deadwood. It's also like the TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's nice to call him his real name as well. All right. Then let's do the jelly tarts for both chapters. Yeah. I don't have many, but I think most of mine are from the first chapter. It's nice to see you finally coming out of your shell.
Yeah. Domina A, first name basis with legendary dragons, must be nice. It is nice, isn't it, Sim? And when, I don't know who said it, but I thought this was going in a completely different direction with Domina.
Domina. Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah, that's a really interesting Domina name as well.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
I've got stab, stab, bye bye, bad guy. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Stab, stab, bye bye, bad guy. Yeah.
This wound doesn't look good. It's all magic-y and goopy. Blech.
What's Soren saying? He's a little congested? We're gonna be digested.
Ah, you must be the strangest family of talking hermit crabs I ever saw.
And the only one I've got is from now the second chapter. These goods are so good, they should call them greats.
That's great, yeah. My muscles are always too big for things. And then the coming out of your shell.
Yeah.
And then the fist bump.
The fist bump was good, Kevin. Yeah.
I might have seen your dad's bum shimmy just a little. This flower over here has loads of pollen. Why would he say this? To tell the other bees where a good flower is? Romantic.
Thanks, Terry.
Yeah. Yeah, and the second one I got... I've got no problem with spooky, just boat.
Poor Rayla. All in all, very good episodes. Lots of new characters, new places.
New everything.
New everything. They have a map now. They have the next... They have the place they need to go next. And...
They have board.
Suspense with Zabea. Scary.
Oh, and Nyx.
And Nyx. Nyx. Although, I didn't get the suspense of that. But yeah, okay. I understand. Yeah, and the suspense of, Finnegan knows, can see where they're going.
Yeah.
And maybe, they're not completely out of the woods yet.
And also Kim Dale.
Oh god, yeah, that's a whole other
thing.
Yeah. Level of creepiness. Yeah, this the Bloods, I want to call them the Bloodbenders now, but they are the Bloodbenders, the Order of the Blood Moon. That's all very dark.
Yeah.
I think we said it in the last podcast episode as well, that the age rating of this is going up by the episode,
kind of with
the creepiness and goriness and stuff. And yeah, those Blood Moon elves, they like... The style also reminds me more of Arcane. Did you watch that?
No.
It's also an animated Netflix series, and... That's very dark. Like, I watched it and it was good, but it was like, actually over my kind of gore
okay,
and creepiness limit. but I watched it anyway, and it was really well done. But for my taste, a little too on the gory side.
Okay,
so I see this and I'm like, oh, I hope it's not going to get that bad. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Okay, well, I think that's it from us this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And yeah, we'll get on with recording the next episode as soon as we can.
Thanks for listening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye, bad guy.